We're on Daf Chav Dalid Amud Beis, and we're on the top three lines down, Toshma. What we're trying to figure out is the Shita of Rab Shim ben Elazar. He says that if it's a place where there's mostly Goyim, that's Makom Sherov Ha'ir, is Nachrim, Mitzuyim Sham, therefore, it's Harel Shalo. How far did Rav Shimon ben Elazar say this? Would he extend this even to a Rov Yisrael and assume that the Bailim who lost the object will be Mesiyash because they're afraid that in a place with his Rov, even Yisrael, amongst those people are people that are not interested in Hashavas Aveda, they'll take the object for themselves, there are Einam Mehuganim, and that generates Yeish. Toshma, the Omer of Asi, in other words, even if we can't prove necessarily from a Braisa exactly what Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion is, but at least one of the Amoraim might tell us how he understood Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Omer of Asi, Motza chavis yayin be'ir sheruba knanim muteres mishum mitzia. So we're talking about a place which is rov b'nei ha'ir mitzuyim sham, some sort of a public area, and he finds a chavis yayin in a city that's made up primarily of non-Jews. Muteres mishum mitzia, in other words, he has no chiyuv hashava. And the implication is that even if it is a Dover Shesh Bo Simon, nevertheless, since we're talking about Rubo Akum, the premise is that it was found by a guy, and even if a Jew finds it, he's going to assume it was lost by a guy, and the Bailim are going to be Mesiyash, Vasur Bano. But since we assume that in all likelihood, this Yayin belongs to a guy, and that's why the finder is not going to replace the yayin. He's not going to be machers the yayin, he can keep it for himself. Is vasura bano. There's another dimension to this halacha of mitzia, of finding something, and in the case of yayin, because we have a din of stam yenom, that yayin shel nochrim is asur, it's asur even bano. And therefore, he has to assume, since the city is made up mostly of goyim, that this chavis yayin belongs to a goy. It's not kosher, you're not allowed to enjoy it. But, however, ba Yisrael v'nosan ba simon, now these two dimensions of the halacha split in two different directions. These two dimensions in two different directions. On the one hand, muteres Bishtia Limotza. Now we know that it was lost by a Jew, and therefore it's not Stam Yenom, it's not Yayin Shel Nochrim, it's Muta Bishtia. But on the other hand, as far as the dimension of Dini Mominus is concerned, the finder can keep it. He doesn't have to return it because it was lost in a city that was Ruba Akum, and therefore the owner, even though he's Jewish, was Mesiyash. Now, there's a discussion, as we've mentioned in the past, about whether simonim and hashavas aveda b'simonim is a doraisa halacha or it's a derabanan. So let's assume that the Torah would not recognize this simon; it's only midrabanan. Nevertheless, we have a principle called heimamru veheimamru, which means that since they created the iser of yayin shel nochrim, Yain Shal Nochrim is also by not only Midrabanan, that's called Stam Yenom. We don't have any proof positive that the Goy was Menasech Lavodah Zarah. So the same Rabbanan who created this Iser of Stam Yenom, they could rely on Simonim, and based on Simonim, even though the Torah didn't recognize those Simonim, they could assume that the Chacham, that the owner, the one who lost this Chavis Shel Yayin, and he's the proud owner of the Chavis Shel Yayin, or at least he was, is a Jew, and therefore there's no Iser of Stam Yenom. That's the Heim Omru, Heim Omru. Furthermore, it's possible to say that in addition to the fact that the Yisrael who comes along and gives a siman, the chavis is also what's called reshuma, and that creates what's called shnei simanim. And when you combine A plus B, you have the equivalent of a siman muvhak, which is even doraisa. Now, it could be that we're talking about a chavis that was found. It's chasuma bechosem betoch chosem. And it's so bottled up and it's so doubly sealed that we assume that the Nochri never came in contact with this yayin. In any event, the Gemara says Kiman. Rav Asi reflects which Shita. Certainly, Ki Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Because it's Rav Shimon who holds that if you find an Aved in a place where there's Rabbi Mitzuyim Bo, then you can keep it for yourself. But yet, Rav Asi, within the framework of, or standing on the shoulders of Rav Shimon, limited the heter to a case of Ir Sheruba Akum, Shmami no Kikom, Rav Shimon Allah's Barov, Knanim Avol Barov Yisrael Lo. We therefore derive the conclusion that, according to Rav Asi's understanding, Rav Shimon would only go as far as to be Matir, a Metziah that was found in an Ir Sheruba Akum, but not Rov Yisrael. He's mowed in the case of Rov Yisrael that Yechayev in Hashav and Achroza. And the reason for that is we're going to assume that your average Jew, when he finds an Aved, he encounters a lost object, he will do whatever he has to do and put in the effort, whatever effort he must put in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Shavas Aved. And therefore the owner who lost the object and assumes it was found by a Jew in an Ir Sheruba Akum would not be Misyayish. Again, you could raise a question here about the possibility that Reb Shimon is talking even about Rov Yisrael. He wants to be Mechadesh, a Chiddush, not in Hilchus Mitzia and Hashavas Aved, but rather Hilchus Stam Yenom, to the effect that even though the city is made up primarily of non-Jews, nevertheless, we could be matir the Yayin Ba'ana if there's a Simon. And that's the Chiddush, that if there's no Simon, it's Aser Ba'ana. If there is a Simon, then it's Mutar Ba'ana. So if you take a look at the Shittim Gubetzes, he says that if the thrust of Rav Shimon, of Rav Asi's statement was to be Oser the Yayin, if there's no Jew that comes home with the Simon, then he should have started by saying Asur Ba'ana Umuteres Mishum Metziah. In other words, the sequence of his statements is very crucial here, and from the fact that he opens up by saying Muteres Mishum Metziah, it seems that the Isra Anod dimension of Yayin Shel Nachrim is only a spin-off, it's only secondary. You could ask, why did the Gemara bother with quoting the entire statement of Rav Asi? The whole chacha of Rav Shimon is from the Reisha in the case of Ir Sheruba Akum. Why did the Gemara feel compelled to quote even the Seifa of Ba Yisrael V'Nasan Ba Simon? And perhaps we could answer, and this you'll see at least hints of this in a sefer called Mayan HaChachma, that the continuation of Rav Asi would indicate that perhaps, in other words, if not for the continuation, perhaps he would have identified Rav Asi with the Chachamim. And the Chachamim would hold that since his Rov Nochrim is Me'ikra Din, you can take it for yourself. But Chachamim wanted to be Mesakin Kol Manti Efshar. They wanted to go to all extent to try to be Machzir Momen Lebailov. That was the Tosfos back on Daf Chav Gimel. And therefore here, what they said was that let's wait to see if Yisrael will come and give us Simon, and then we could be Mesakin Kol Manti Efshar. However, if that be the case, how do we understand the Seifa of Rav Asi? Rav Asi says that if a Jew gives a Simon, then harehi shel motza, that although it's matir the iser of stam yena, because we now can attribute the ownership of this chavis to a Jew, but nevertheless, the finder still keeps it. According to Rachamim, if the entire halacha here of being machir is something, but Rov Akum was just a takonis Rachamim in order to possibly expand the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and that's the whole purpose, is to be ma'afshir Hashavas Aveda, then why would the finder be able to pocket this chavis, keep it for himself, in event that the Yisrael came forward with a simon? So the chiddush of the Mayan HaChochma is that it's only from the Sefer that in a case where Yisrael gave a siman, nevertheless the finder could keep it. That's how we know that Rav Asi is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says the following: Kiman ki Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Shmamino ki komer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar berov Knani av berov Yisrael lo. And the Gemara says, Lo yolam emil cha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar afil berov Yisrael nami komer. Rabbi Shimon is matir an aveda even in a mitzuyim rov Yisrael mitzuyim sham, but Rav Asi sovala kavase bechadu polgalei bechadu. Rav Asi himself accepted Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar only as far as Rov Nachrim. There he was Mekil and Matir, the Aveda, but he wasn't going to go as far as to accept Rabbi Shimon hook, line, and sinker, even in the case of Rov Yisrael. There he disagrees and he holds like the Chachamim. And in Rov Yisrael, there is a Chiyuv Hashava. The Gemara now raises the following question: V'chimi achar di asira bano muteres mishum mitzia l'may hilchasa. Once you're telling me that the finder is not allowed to benefit at all from this yayin, because the assumption is the chavish al yayin belonged to a guy and it's tam yena mitzasa bano, so what are you telling me that he could keep it mishum mitzia l'may hilchasa? Omer avashi l'kankana. Now here I'm a little bit confused. What the Gemara is establishing, Rav Ashi, is that although clearly the finder cannot benefit from this wine, stam yena, but nevertheless he can benefit from the kankan. And why didn't the Gemara just simply raise the possibility that what Rav Ashi wants to tell you is that as far as the laws and the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, we can exempt the finder. Not that he's going to benefit from it and own it, possess it in the classical way that whenever you find hefker, it's yours. Because obviously we're talking about Isar Hanah, but rather that just to alleviate him of the responsibility of looking for the owner in an event that it actually fell from the miut, from the minority that was a Jew. And that itself is the thrust here of Rav Asi's statement that since it's Rov Nachrim, he's exempt from Hashava. And it seems to me that the Gemara's question is based on the diuk in the lashon of Rav Asi. He says muteres mishum mitzi. He doesn't say eino chayv lahachriz, but rather he says muteres, and the language of muteres sounds like he's allowed to take it from self and possess it. Again, you could have said that the reason he says muteres is just to tell you, as akdoma to the Sefer, that if a Yisrael comes along and gives a simon, in such a case, he's allowed to drink it, and the emphasis is muteresi b'shtia. And Erchinami, the ratio where it's Asur Mishum Shasiyah, certainly Muteris means just Mishum Mitziah, meaning that he's not Chayv and Ashava. But I guess the Gemara doesn't want to assume that the ratio is just Akdoma to the Sefer, and that the thrust of the Chiddush here is that the Jew comes along and gives Simonim, and then it's Muteris Mishum Mitziah, meaning muteres l'shtia, l'motza, because again, the Braisa And we pointed out this before, the thrust of the Chiddush of, I shouldn't call it a Braisa, Rav Asi, is an Amora, is that Muteres Lemotza, meaning as far as Mitzia is concerned, he's potter from Ashava, but Muteres means that the finder can enjoy the benefit of it, and the answer is that the Nafkamina is going to be for the Kankan. Now, again, there's a sugi here in Yoredeya, which sort of overlaps here, because I'm not sure that the Kankan is not Bolea the Tam of Yayin. And if that be the case, how are you allowed to use this Kankan? Or possibly it needs Hagola in order to get the Tam out of it. So they quote here in the notes that Sefer Truma is of the opinion that the Kankan is Mutter Bitsonen even without Hagola. And Stam Chavis he shall cheres v'lo moil ba hagola. And if it's a kli cheres, this chavis, then any otzimi they dof yoliolim, the hagola won't work at all. It won't be effective, but he can use it bitsonein. And the reason for that is because we don't say kibolo kachpolto, that the tama iser would be niflat into the food, or whatever you put into this kankan, if you're only using it for tzonein, it's only when you use it for cham, for oseach. The Gemara tells us now a story, Ahu gavra di ashkech arba zuze di tzairei besdina. So a person found four zuzim that were tied up in a sdina, is a kerchief, vishadu benar biron. And this kerchief was floating on the river called Biron. Osel kame de Rabbi Yehuda omar le zil achris. Rabbi Yehuda paskin for the shoel that the finder cannot keep the zuzim for himself. He's got to go out and be machris it. And clearly, there's a simon in the fact that it's tied up in the sadin. So the Gemara right away asks, Vazoto shal yamhu. I mean, after all, the river is washing away, is carrying away this sadin. And we said that in the case of Zuto shal yam, you can keep it. And that's called Yeish Bailim. And perhaps Yeish Bailim means, even if the Bailim are yelling and screaming, we weren't Messiah, it's irrelevant. It's Avudah Bimenu Mikol Adam. It's objective Yeish. So the Gemara answers. And again, you know, this case where it's tied up in a sadin would perhaps indicate that the Bailim might make an effort here to try to get it, to retrieve it. The nature of this river called Biran is unique in the fact that there are what we call machsomim, michsholim. And I think that this was artificially created by the fishermen, I'm not sure, in order to catch fish. And these machsomim are barriers in the water that where things get caught up. So it's not like endlessly the stream of the river will carry it out all the way across the globe. And therefore, if we assume that these blockades, so to speak, will catch on to the sadin, the bailim are not misyaj, because they're going to say that they'll scan through the river, they'll go through the various machsomim until they're finally... we'll do a cleanup job. They'll find this sadin. So the Gemara asks for Ruba Knaninu. Nar Barin happens to be located in a place where most of the people around that Nar are goyim. Ishmamina, should we derive from this Ein Halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar Afilu Barov Knanim, that La Halacha Rav Yehuda Paskins, like the Chachamim, even in a case of Rov Knanim, that you're Chayv and Hashava against Rav Shimon ben Elazar? And the Gemara answers, no. Shani Nar Biran, the Yisrael Sachrule, the Yisrael Karule. That even though most of the people around them are Goyim, but nevertheless, it's the Yisraelim who set up these Machsomim in order to catch things. They're also in charge of cleaning it out from time to time to see what objects were caught on it. They came in the Yisrael Sachrule, Emer Yisrael Nafal. So the premise is that even though it's Rove Akum Mitzuyim Shom, but nevertheless, in this case, certainly we should assume that the object was lost by Yisrael, because they're the ones who are involved in this whole process and procedure of preparing and cleaning out the machsomim of this Nar Biron. Came in the Yisrael Karule Lomi Aish. And since the one who lost this object, in this case this Sadin, he knows that it's the Jewish workers who are in charge of cleaning up this Nahar, they're not going to be Messiahish, because they're going to think that the Israel will certainly find this Aveda and announce it and return it. Now here we have a little bit of a problem. And to introduce this problem, which is raised by the Shita Mekubetzes here in our sugya, let's go back to the Ibai Seima on the top of the page, Chav Dalet Amid Beis. This was what we did in the last year. And that is, the Gemara says, Li Olam Rabbana, that even according to the Chachamim, in a case of Rov Akum, it's not Shelo, but it's Eino Chayv Lahachris. Meaning that the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Shimon on one point, that if it's an Ir Sheruba Akum, there's no Chiyuv Hachroza. And if that be the case, then let's take a look at our Kasha, the Gemara. The Gemara says, Varuba Knanim Ninu. And since it's Ruba Knanim Ninu, why is it that when you find this Sadin in Nahar Biran, why does Rabbi Yehuda tell the Shoel, Zil Achriz, go out and be Machriz? This is a little strange. You know, you're telling me that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shim ben Elazar, meaning that apparently Rabbi Yehuda is standing on the shoulders of the Chachamim, but wait a second, even the Chachom would be modeh, then in the case of Ir Sheruba Akum, Yinach Chayv and Achroza. According to the Ibai Seima that we have on the top of our Amud, the Rabbanon only disagree as far as the question of Harei Hein Shalom, but they certainly agree in the case of Ir Sheruba Akum, Sheino Chayv Lahachris. And yet Rabbi Yehuda said, Yechayv Lahachris. And perhaps what we have to assume here is, and this is a bit strange, but I think that's what the Shita Mekubetzes is telling us, that when we read Vaharuba Knanim Ninhu, right, we assume that the Gemara itself was raising this problem and trying to prove from this that we reject Rav Shim ben Elazar in Ruv Knanim, but really, this was part of the Shaka Vitalia between Rabbi Yehuda and Ahu Gavra, this anonymous individual. He's saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that I have to be Machriz? It's Ruba Akum. And if it's Ruba Akum, then it was probably lost by a guy. Why am I have to be Machriz this sudden? And even in the event that it was lost by a Jew, he was Messiahish. And that was the motze, the person who found the sudden. He was asking in all naivete, why do I have to be machriz this? It's an Ir Sheruba Akum, and Reb Shimon holds that I can keep it for myself. So Enoch Inami comes out according to the Shita Mekubetzes that in the Havamin of the Gemara, before the Gemara knew this answer of Yisrael Sachrule, Yisrael Karule, etc., etc., the Gemara would have asked and raised a more fundamental objection on Rabbi Yehuda's Psak for the Ahu Gavra, namely, why is he Bechlal Chayev in Achroza, right? Enoch Chayev Lahachriz. even according to Chachamim, ain't no chayv l'achra. So how can you be mechayv him in achrosa? How can you tell him zeal achris? But in the Shaklitaria, what the motze, what the finder wanted to tell and raise as an objection to Rabbi Yehuda is, why can't I keep it for myself? Forget about achrosa. I should be able to keep it for myself because Rabbi Shimon, if the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the shul was a big lamdan, is then in the case of Rov Knanim, I'm allowed to keep it for myself. And the answer must be that Rabbi Yehuda holds ain halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar afilu b'Rov Knanim, and now we've at least come to some definite conclusion based on Rabbi Yehuda about one of our questions that we had here on Daf Chav Talad Amud Aleph, namely that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, not even in the case of Rav Akum. The Gemara says, name. Rabbi Yehuda's psak was based on the fact that it was the Yisrael who lost it, and it was the Yisrael who found it. In other words, the Yisrael who was the Chosem, in the active sense, he was the one who dropped it. And the Yisrael who was the Karule, the Menachem Esanar, they were the ones who would clean out these machsobim, these barriers. They were the ones who found it. So Yisrael lost it and Yisrael found it. And that's why you have to be machriz. Now the Gemara gives an interesting case where even though the finder is potter from Ashavas Aveda, nevertheless, he should return the object lefnim mishuras adin. And the concept of Lefnim Mishuras HaDin, which is going to come up here on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, is a principle that's derived from the Pasuk in Shmos Yudches, Vodatem Lahem Es HaDerech Yelchu Ba Ves Hamas Esher Yasun, that a person should be knowing Lefnim Mishuras HaDin. And the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Avishakil V'Ozol Basrei Demar Shmuel B'Shuka Debei Daisa. Rabbi Yehuda was going for a Shpatzir together with Shmuel in the Shuk, which is a public place. In this case, it was called Debei Daisa. And this is the place where you went to buy Daisa. Daisa is a kind of a cereal, like we have oatmeal. I know some people call it farina. Here in Israel, they call it solet. And what they did was they took grains, whether it would be oats or whether it be wheat, and they pounded it and made it into these smaller particles, and then you add hot water, you make dice out of it. Anyway, that was the shuk. And Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda said to Shmuel, what would be if, you know, Ra Maisa, you know, the Amoraim lived in a reality of halacha, Matza Kan Arnaki, what if I found a wallet here? Mau, what's the din? Am I allowed to keep it myself? Do I have to be machriz? Do I have to return it? And the underlying reason of this question is that since, on the one hand, this is a public area, which is Rov Akum, but on the other hand, Shmuel, you're the one who holds Ein Holchim B'Momen Achar Rov. And to his surprise, the response of Rabbi Yehuda got from Shmuel is Omer Le Harei Elu Shalo, that you can keep it for yourself because of Rov Akum, and you don't have to worry about the principle, my principle, says Shmuel, of Ein Olchem Momen Achar Rov, because that only applies if there's a Muchzak. Here there's no Muchzak at all, and therefore we go Basar Rov, even according to Shmuel. The Gemara again wants to prove from here that in the case of Rov Nachrim, Areil Shalom means that we paskin La Loch like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And the Gemara did not ask about Rov Yisrael, because this Shuk is a place where it's Rov Akum. And Eino Chinami, had it been an ear Sherubi Yisrael, he would be Chayev in Achrozo, and that Shmuel would have told him. But here we're talking about an ear Sherubi Akum. Now, again, it could be that even if the city was Rov Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda would still allow him to take it if in this particular area, in this location, it's Rov Nachman. But be that as it may, Shmuel said to him, look, it's Rov Akum. Now Rabbi Yehuda comes back and asks a second question to Shmuel. Okay, since it's Rav Akiva, I can keep it. But Ba Yisrael V'nasan Ba Simon Mahu. What happens if a Jew would come along and give me a Simon? So even though I relied on Rav, it turns out that this Arniki belonged to the Miut, to a Jew. Amalei Shmuel says, Chayv La'achzir. Whoa, you just finished telling me that I can keep it for myself. Now you're telling me I have to give it back to the Yisrael. The reason I keep it for myself is because we have an assumption of Yeush. And the premise of Yeush is based on the fact that it's Ruba Akum. And even if it was lost by Yisrael, he's going to assume that it was found by a guy. Or the father's going to assume that he doesn't have to return it because it was lost by a guy. Everything there, all the pieces of the puzzle of Yeush fit into place. And now you're telling me that the Yisrael can come and demand it back. And I'm chayv lahachzir based on his simon. Tarti. Tarti means both your answers, Shmuel, contradict one or the other. If you're telling me that I can keep it for myself, it's because of Yeush, then why then do I have to return it when a Yisrael comes along and gives a simon? Amalei lifnim mishura sadin. Now this is a pella. Lifnim mishura sadin, you chayv to be meshim and aved, even though there was Yeush. It means lechora, I would say, against Rashi at the beginning of Perek Elu Metzias, that Rashi identifies Yeush with hefker. I would not accept that equation in this sugya, because if he was mafkirit, why is there lefnim mishus adin? That's a little bit odd. I don't know. We'll think about it. But be that as it may, we have to ask another question over here. How could Shmuel respond to Rabbi Yehuda by saying Chayav Lahachzir? That's a very strange language. Chayav Lahachzir means that we can compel you to fulfill your obligation. But here there's no obligation. It's all Lifnim, Mishra Sadin. Furthermore, it's very interesting that the Gemara here in Lifnim Mishra Sadin does not quote the Pasuk that the sugya later on is going to quote, namely, Vodatalem es aderech asher yelchun bam. And perhaps the reason why the Gemara omits this pasuk as a source, is because that pasuk is talking about a situation in which everyone else is chayav and you're potter. So you want to, instead of hiding behind this ptur, this exemption, you want to equate yourself with everybody else, anyone else in your situation, if not for your unique situation, would be chayev. For example, the case of Zaken v'eino lefi chvodo. He's potter from Hashavas Aveda because he's an elderly gentleman. He doesn't have to run around and be metapa with a sheep that's roaming through the streets. But lefnimishu said, then he's going to equate himself with everyone else and say, despite my personal p'tur as a Zaken, I'm going to accept upon myself a chiyuv lefnimishu said, then. And that's the Gemara later on in Daf Lamed that derives from this pasuk of Odato Lemes Haderech. Here in our case, no one in this situation would be chayef, because since we're talking about Rov Akum, there's no difference between Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Whoever picks up this Arniki would be potter from Ashova. And therefore, this halacha of Lifnim Mishus Adin is a whole different category of Lifnim Mishus Adin. And the proof of the pudding is that Chayav Lahachzir means that we can force him on this Lifnim Mishus Adin. Why is that so? And what is the nature of this Lifnim Mishus Adin, if it's not based on the Pasuk? Oh. The answer is, there's something called Hefseid Mamon. A person should feel and commensurate with someone who lost mammon. And the basis for this is a different pasuk. Not the pasuk in the Torah of Shmos Yudches, but rather a pasuk in Mishlei. There it says, Levan Telech Bederech Tovim. And what's Bederech Tovim? And you'll see this in Tosis Dirim Askel Lefnimishu Sadin. Now we're talking about a case where there's a hefseid mammon to someone. But again, what about you? I mean, you're the finder. What about your hefseid mammon? No, it's mikra din, you're allowed to pocket it if it's an ir sheruba akum, etc., etc. And in general, when it's a question between me and someone else, is chayecha kodmi l'chayecha vercha? I put myself first. Hefeski lo yecha evyon. Rabbi Kiva's famous principle. It's also here in Bab Metzia. The answer is that here's a halacha of lifnim mishpat hadin that's based on, when I say you, I'm talking to the person who's chayav in Hashav, according to Shmuel. When your situation is that you have the wherewithal of giving up on this object, it's not so crucial or vital for you. And the Mordechai, here on our sugya, says the following. The motze, the person who found this arniki, is an ani. If the person who found the arniki is an ani, and the one who's coming to identify with Simonim, claiming it for his own, he lost it, is an asher. He's wealthy. That's not lifnim mishpat hadin. The lifnim mishpat hadin here is when the finder is relatively well-to-do. Again, he's comfortable financially. And the one who lost the object, who's coming to claim it, is an ani. But let's say, for example, the finder is an ani himself, and the one who lost it is an asher. Then there would be no din of lifnim mishpat hadin here. But in any event, the Mordechai seems to assume that when it says chayav in Shmuel's words, chayav lahachzir means kofino, so we can force him. And again, this is a new category of lifnim mishpat hadin. Tosfos adds another point over here, another variable into the equation. The finder is not losing anything by returning the object. It's only a menias revach. Now the Pnei Yoshua here has a different approach. He says that b'derech klal is a general rule. We don't say chayev on something that's lifnim mishpat hadin. And he has a proof from a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Lamed in Chulin says, Tana, Tani, Yishal, V'adam Midas Chasidus Yeshkan. It doesn't make sense, as the Gemara, to say Yishalim that he's chayev to pay if it's only lifnim mishpat hadin. Here, the word chayev, says the Pnei Yoshua, means that since the, as we said before, the mamon that the finder finds is not his, in other words, from the beginning, from the get-go, it wasn't his, he's allowed to take it midin yeirush and keep it for himself, then in such a case, because of this special category called yeirush, if he says he doesn't want to take something that's really not his, then he's chayv to be machzir to the Baal HaRishon, to the original owners. And that's something that we see here as a unique feature in our sugya. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda asked Shmuel, Bo Yisrael v'nosan Simon, what he had in mind was, I know the halacha of lifnim mishpat hadin, but how should I be noheg? Rabbi Yehuda just responded to his first question. I'm sorry, Shmuel just responded to Rabbi Yehuda's first question about Harel Shalom. I mean, he told him that he can keep it in this arniki in a place where there's mostly goyim. So why did Shmuel come back and ask him a question? Bo Yisrael v'nosan Simon. And like, what was Rabbi Yehuda thinking in this question? After all, if it's Harel Shalom, then it's Harel Shalom. There was Yeush, and therefore the Simonim of the Bailam is irrelevant. But the answer is that he himself, Rabbi Yehuda, understood that there's a possibility of applying the principle within the context of Yeush of Lifnim Mishpat Hadin. And Shmuel told him, Tzorech Lahachzir, Chayv Lahachzir. Is then, he said, Tarti, wait a minute, you're telling me that this is a Chiyuv Gomur? And then Shmuel clarified what he meant by Chayv Lahachzir, that's a Chiyuv B'toras within the framework of Lifnim Mishpat Hadin. The Gemara now tells us another story here. Rava, Havi Shokil V'yosel Basreder of Nachman B'shukadil Gildoi. Rava was hanging out with Rav Nachman, also in a very public place, in a market of Gildoi. Gildoi are the tanners, you know, or the shoemakers. The Amri Levi Shuka de Rabbanon. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Amar Le. So Rava turns to Rav Nachman, Motza Kan Arniki Mao. Apparently this was a style to ask a gadol if this place is a place where I can keep a lost object, and an arniki was the password. I don't know. Omalei Rav Nachman says Arel Shalom. Bo Yisrael v'nosa basim amau Omalei Arel Shalom. Here, to our surprise, we thought it was a repeat of the byline of the storyline. Rav Nachman responds to Rava that if a Yisrael comes and identifies the Anaki, nevertheless, the finder can keep it. He doesn't have to return it to the Yisrael. This owner who identifies the Arniki with a Simon is yelling and screaming that he wasn't Messiah. Why can't we obligate the finder to return it? And Rav Nachman says, Nasa kimi shetzoveach al beso shenofal svinos shetov biyam. We have a halacha called butler daito itzel kol adam. Imagine a person sees his house collapsing. He sees his yacht going down to the bottom of the ocean, and he's yelling and screaming, "I'm not Messiah." That's meaningless. That's butler daito itzel kol adam. Now, some want to say that Rav Nachman's answer was that we don't believe it when he says he wasn't Messiah. I don't think we have to go that far. Just the halacha is butler daita sol kol adam. And we've said over and over again that the Aveda shame of it is objective, and here there's an absolute shame of it. Because beso nafal svinosa tova b'yam. So don't tell me you're yelling and screaming. That's irrelevant. There's an objective shame of it. And Rav Nachman applies that to the case of an Arniki with his Rov Goyim. Again, you could ask the question, well, what happened to Lifnim Mishur Sadin? So sure enough, the Mordechai gives his answer, Lishitasa, so that we're talking about a case of Metzius in which the finder was an Ani, and the owner of this Arniki who lost the Arniki was an Ashir. And therefore, we're not going to force you, Lifnim Mishur Sadin, and that's why Rav Nachman insists on telling Rav the answer is Harel Shalom. Now we skipped a few words here. The Gemara says Amri Le, there's another version that this story, Rava and Rav Nachman, took place b'shukah d'rabbanon, a shuk of chachamim. And it seems that it's interesting. Back in the day, I have never seen this in my contemporary life. There was a special market for the chachamim where they would sell their goods, and in fact, some of the Sfarim write. And take a look in Shulchan Aruch Yoredei Siman Reish Mem Gimel in terms of the Kvod Chachamim, that if a Talmud Chacham wants to sell his pragmatia, you know, his chayra, then no one's allowed to compete with him. Also, l'kol adam limchar schoros ad sheyimkar Talmud Chacham et shalo. First, we have to wait until Talmud Chacham, you know, cleans out his malai. You know, everything that he has was sold. And it seems that Rav and Rav Nachman on that day were walking through the shuk of Talmidei Chachamim, and maybe the Talmidei Chachamim were selling their schora. That was going on. Again, you could always ask if it was a shuk of Talmidei Chachamim, why did Rav Nachman say to Rava, "Hare Eu Shalom"? You know, if it was shoemakers, okay. I mean, mostly goyim out there. But here, you're talking about a shuk shel chachamim. Why is it areil shelo? So if you take a look in the Tosa Rosh, he writes, Tzarech Lomar, we must be talking about a case shehayu rov nochrim mitzuyim sham. And even though it was the Talmidei Chachamim who were selling, they were the sellers in this shuk, but most of the buyers were goyim. And they offered a competing price, and the goyim would buy from the chacham, not necessarily out of the great reverence and respect for the Jewish chachamim. And therefore, it's harei elu shelo. You'll ask me again, why not lifnim mishus hadin? And the answer is, as the Mordechai says, we're talking about a case where the finder is strapped for money, and the loser is a wealthy guy or relatively wealthy. The Gemara now brings another maisa. Hahu dayo. Dayo is a certain kind of a bird that carries, likes to swoop down and carry meat and bring it far to faraway places. The shakel bisra b'shuka. The dayo swooped down and he took a piece of meat from the Jewish marketplace. Veshaje b'tzaynasa to bay bar merion, and it threw or dropped this piece of meat amongst the date trees that were owned by a person by the name of Bar Merion. Also, l'kami d'abaye, And Bar Merion himself came in front of Abaye to ask him the question, what's the din of this basa that I found amongst my date trees? Amar Leih said to him, Abaye's response was, Zil shkol l'nafshecha. You're allowed to take this meat for yourself. There's no chiyuv of hashava. So the Gemara asked, Varuba di Yisrael ninu? I don't get it. In the shuk, there were mostly Jews. And presumably, even Rav Shimon ben Elazar would agree that in a place that's Rov Yisrael, I'm chayven hashava. So what are you telling me? Hare elu shalo zil shkol nafshecha. Again, we're going to have to assume when the Gemara says Ruvi Yisrael that this Dayo did not take this oath from a very far distance or to a very far distance. It must be that the Ofos find a piece of meat, and unless we know otherwise, we assume that it drops the meat within a close radius, a close proximity, and therefore the meat was taken from the shuk, which is Rov Yisrael, and it was dropped down here in this Jewish location, heavily populated Jewish shuk. Why do I assume this meat came from within this location, from this Jewish gege, this Jewish neighborhood? Maybe the dayo took it from the other side of the city or wherever and flew a long distance. So we're going to have to assume that, as the Ritva writes here, Derech ha'ofos lahavias mashe motzi'im bikirvas makom. Okay, there's some sort of principle here in birds that allows us to assume that the bird found this meat in a close proximity, and therefore Ruba Yisrael, we have to be machrizit. That's the Gemara's kash. So how then do we justify the response here of Abaye, zil shkol l'nafshecha? And the answer is, says the Gemara, something of Pella, Shmami no, that Abai Paskin, that Halachik Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Afilu Berov Yisrael, even if you find something in a place which is Rabim Mitzuyim Shom, and the Rabim here are Yisrael, nevertheless you'll have to pocket it from yourself. And the proof is that Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who said his din, apparently even in the case of Rov Yisrael, and not only that, the Halacha is like Reb Shimon. Whew. So the Gemara says, no, you know what? There's no proof. Shani dayo de kizuto shel yam dami. The reason why, in the case of the bird, Abai allowed the finder to keep it for himself is because the Bailam were misyayish. And why do you assume the Bailam are misyayish? Not because of halachic Reb Shimon ben Elazar afilu b'Rov Yisrael, but for an entirely different reason, regardless of and irrelevant to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So this is a case of a person whose basically his property was washed away at the, you know, with the river, at the, you know, with the waters, and that sets up, as we called it, objective yeush. And even if we now find this object, you know, it's the piece of meat that was taken by the bird is right here in front of us, obviously, because the finder is coming to ask Abai if he's allowed to take it. But nevertheless, as soon as the bird took it, that's called avuda mimenu mikolod, that's called zuto shel yam. And even in the case of Rov Yisrael, zuto shel yam is still mutter. It still is an assumption of yeush. Now again, keep in mind that in the case of Beinad Kolim, right, the oaf in Bar Merion's case threw or dropped this piece of meat between the date trees, which is Motzi L'chol Adam, why is that called Zuto Shel Yam? Anyone could find it. But the answer is that since at the moment, I should say, that the dayo took the meat into its mouth, that's when it's called Zuto Shel Yam. And as we said before, even if something would be somehow hauled up from the bottom of the sea and the original owner would identify with Simonim, it's finders keepers. And the reason for that is because once it's avudim kennel, that's already a yeush, and therefore he's allowed to take it. I mean, you could ask why Abaye would not have encouraged the finder, in this case Bar Merion, to return the beat because of Lifnim Mishur Sadin. And again, we're going to have to assume, according to the Mordechai, that Bar Merion was, well, I don't know, it's hard to say that Bar Merion was a poor person. And I'd be tempted to say that there's a difference between Stam Yeush, whereas we saw in the Pnei Yeshua, there's Lifnim Mishur Sadin, because it's really not yours, it doesn't belong to the finder, and a case of Avudim Menem, we call Adam, there's a full-fledged Zechiah, and the owner has no strings attached. There's no connection here, even a mixas bailus, between the object and the original owner. In any event, the Gemara is going to ask a different question. Abaye said to the finder, to Bar Marion, Zil shkol nafshecha. Was he implying that he's allowed to eat the meat? V'amar Rav, Bosesh, and Esalim, and Ayin, Asur, and the poskim derived from this kasha, the Gemara here in Bav Metzia, that we pass in halacha like Rav, that Bosesh, and Esalim, and Ayin is Asur, that if you have kosher meat, but you know, you didn't pay attention, you didn't supervise, and now, you know, walking away, you come back, do you have rights to assume it's the same piece of meat? Maybe somebody swapped the meat with some, you know, with some non-kosher piece of meat. And how could Abaye have paskined against Rav and allowed Bar Merion to eat this meat? It's certainly Bosesh and Esalim in a Ayin in the most extreme sense. I mean, the bird, this diode, brought the meat from somewhere else. And the answer is, Bi Omed Viro Ehu, that we're talking about a case where Bar Merion was actually there, or some other Jew was there, witnessing the bird pick up the meat and putting it down. From the time that it picked it up until the point it took it down, it was never Nisalim and Ayin. It was never out of eye's view. The Ritva has an amazing kashov. He says, in this case where Abaye said Zil Shkol and Afshka because of the equation to Zuta Shal Yam, we're talking about something that has a simon. And Zuta Shal Yam is matir, even with the Dovah Sheish Bo Simon. The Gemara in Chulin establishes that if you have Bosser with a Simon, is that's not considered Bosser Shinis Alim and Ayin. So then, what was the Gemara's Kasha here? V'omar Rav, Bosser Shinis Alim and Ayin, Asur. Ah, so the Ritva answers, also a brilliant answer, that a Simon is not meaningful in this case, except for the Gabi the Bailim, who recognize the Simon, who know the Simon. However, the person who finds it, in this case Bar Merion, he has to be choshesh that perhaps a guy put the Simon on the meat. It's only the original owner who can come along and absolutely clarify that this was the piece of meat that fell. The Gemara never would have asked this kasha on Abaye, never would have raised this objection if the Jew would come forward and identify this meat with a simon. Then it's not called Bosesh and Esalim and Ayin. But here, we don't know of that factor. All we know about is that Abaye was matir for Bar Merion. And if that be the case, then what about Bosesh and Esalim and Ayin? And the Gemara has to answer that it was Omed Viroehu, as a Jew testifies that he saw the meat from beginning to end. Now, we had a Gemara of Zil Shkol and Afshecha back on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, in the case of Kufra, you know, where he found, I think we said it was pitch or tar, and Rav over there said to the finder that he could take it for himself. You see that the word zil shkol and nafshcha really doesn't indicate, you know, go and eat it. So I don't know why the Gemara assumes here that Abaye was matir Bar Merion to eat the thing. Maybe he was matir zil shkol and nafshcha b'hanah, and Bosesh and Salman Ayin, in the worst case, is only Nevela, which is Mutar Bano, it's only also Bachila. In any event, the Gemara now tells a different story that should also l'chora prove that halacha of Shimon Elazar even in the case of Rov Yisrael, because again, in the previous case of Abaye, we came to the conclusion that Abaye was not mate because of Rabbi Mitzuyim Sham, but rather because of the Dayo, and the Dayo is considered like Zuta Shel Yam. Rav Chanina Motza Gedi Shachut Bein Tveri L'tzipori. He found, I don't know why, in this stretch of land between Tveria and Tzipori, two Jewish cities, it was quite common, apparently, a bunch of stories here about finding a shechted, in this case a goat, or any other animal. V'tirulo, the Chacham said that it's mutter. What does that mean? Omar Rabbi Ami, hitirulo mishum mitzia. They allowed him to keep this gedi, and he's not chayv an achrozo, he can take it for himself. And this halach is halach in Hashavas Aveda, ki Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that if you find something in a place where Rabbi Mitzuyim is, you're allowed to keep it for yourself. Harelu shalo. Mishum shchita. There was another dimension to Rabbi Chanina's, to the psak that Rabbi Chanina got. And that is that he's allowed to eat the meat. And he can assume that the shchita takes this meat out of the state of Nevela. And that's Ki Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chananya, Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Agli, the Sanya, Haresha Ovdulo Gdiya Vitarnagola Vaholach Umatsam Shchutim, person lost a goat, or a hen, a chicken, and then he finds that, it's already shechted. Is Rabbi Yuda Oser, Rabbi Chanina Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Aglili Matir. Now that's a real chiddush here. Rabbi Chananya says you're allowed to eat it. I mean, how do you know who shechted it? So if you would raise the question, how do you know the meat that once was in your possession, even when this gedi was in your possession, when it was alive? In other words, this meat should be, in the very least, it should be bussin to Solomon Ayin. And the Gemara wants to go even further than that. Maybe the shechita is a shechita psula. So as far as bussin to Solomon Ayin, we're going to have to say that we're talking about this simon on the bussar, or the bialim can recognize b'tvias ayin. So we know this is his, but how about for the shechita? The Gemara says that the sanya, just 1 second, I lost the place. The Gemara says, "Omar Rebbe Nirim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda k'shematzon bi'ashpa Divrei Rabbi Chananya b'nosha Rabbi Yosi Aglila k'shematzon bi'bayis." So there is an assumption here that the shechita was done by a Jew. And we have a principle called Rov Mitzvah Netzah Shechita Mumchenhein, and we could assume that it was done by a mumche. And Rebbe points out here that the question is where, when the matir this basar that Rabbi Chanina found, where did he find it? And Rebbe says it's logical that the circumstances and the evidence should determine one way or the other whether or not the shechita was a proper shechita or the animal was nevela. And the answer is, where was this meat thrown after the shochet shechted it? Says Rebbe, if it was found in an ashpa, you know, that's where we throw nevelas, in a rubbish pile, then Rabbi Yehuda is right. And Rabbi Yehuda says, "Oser, you can't eat this meat." However, if he finds it in the house, then says Rabbi, I tip the scale, or tip my hat in favor of Rabbi Chananya, and I assume that the shechita was killed chasa. Now here we have a machlok between the Rambam and the Tur. The Rambam paskins in Perek Dal Milchus Shechita that even if he finds the meat in the ashpa shebebayis, then it's also, the Torah says, if you find it in the ashpa in the bayis, then it's mut. It's only if you find it in the ashpa shebeshuk. The Rambam goes a step further and he says, if he finds it in the shuk, then even if it's not in an ashpa, it's asr. Shuk is automatically asr. And once again, the Torah disagrees. And he says if it's shuk without ashpa, it's mutar. So that's a twofold machlokas between the Rambam and the Torah. In any event, the Gemara says the following, the fact that the psak that Rav Ami testifies to, that was given to Rabbi Chanina, that he's allowed to keep the meat for himself. Well, not only that, but he's allowed to eat the meat. Is midah tiru lo mishum shechita ruba Yisrael? Then it must be that it's in a place where most of the population there is Yisrael, and yet they were matir for Rabbi Chanina to keep the meat for himself. Shema mina halachik Rav Shimon ben Elazar afilu berov Yisrael. That if there's a massive amount of people here, and you found it on the highway, many people pass by, then there's an assumption of Yeush, even if the area is populated by Rov Yisrael. So this is interesting. You know, I'm thinking to myself, it says that he found this Gedi Shokha Bein Tveri Letzipor. I don't know if he found it, you know, in the highways or where he found it. You know, if you go on Route 17, you know, up to the Catskills, you know, it's Rov Yisrael. But nevertheless, we matir, you can keep it for yourself. Omar Rava, what Rava says is no proof. You want to establish based on Abaye, based on Rav Ami, that we paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar, even in Rov Yisrael. No, Rav Knanim, the case was where most of the people there in that area were Knanim, were non-Jews, were Rov Tabche Yisrael, but most of the people who shecht are Yisrael. And why did Rav Ami paskin Harel Shalo? And the answer is because of the Rov Knanim. You'll ask me, if it's Rov Knanim, so why is the boss of Mutar Bachila? Why did he say to him that you're allowed to hitirulo mishum mitzia? And not only that, hitirulo mishum shchita, if Rov Knanim ninu? And the answer is because Rov Tavche Yisrael. Therefore, we assume that this meat was shechted by a Jew. But Enochinami, if it would have been Rov Yisrael, then perhaps we would say Yischaiv Lahachris. Again, I'm assuming, let's say, the meat was cut in a certain way, or I don't know what, and it has the siman. The Gemara tells a story about Rav Ami. Rabbi Ami Ashkech Pargios Shchutos. Pargios are certain birds, and they were shechted. And where did he find them? Again, Bein Tveri Letzipori. Osel Lekami Derav Asi. V'yamrile Lekami Derav Yochanan. V'yamrile Bei Midrasha. The different versions as to where Rav Ami asked this question, to whom he asked this question. And V'yamrile, and they paskin v'im zil shkol and afshecha. You can take it for yourself. I learned this Gemara, my impression was we're going to reiterate the same answer that we just had before in the name of Rava, that we're talking about a case where it's Rov Knanim, and therefore Harelu Shalom Zil Shkol and Afshkol. But on the other hand, there's no Iser of Nevela, there's no Suffolk Nevela, because Rov Tabchi Yisrael. But yet the Ravid, which is quoted here in the Rashba, he says that no, this place where he found the Pargios was Makom Sherov Yisrael. And there's a difference here between finding Pargios and the case of Ophos that we had earlier. In the case of Ophos, the custom was that we don't bring a tavach. Everyone, there's no professional butcher. It seems like it was back in the day, it was common for everyone to shech their own Ophos. And therefore, it's mashma that the halach is like Reb Shimon, even in a case of Rov Yisrael, and if the Gemara had to introduce Rov Nochrim. But here in a case of Pargios, where we would take it to a butcher, then the Gemara is not going to say that it's Rov Nochrim and Rov Tabche Yisrael. Let me correct myself. Pargios is Ophos. Ophos, as we said in the name of the Ravid, is a personal, you know, home-based shechita. So we don't have Tabche Yisrael. Whereas in the other sugya, we found a Gedi that was shochet there, it's generally taken to a tabach, and therefore the Gemara explains that it's Rov Tabach Yisrael, and that's why it's Mutabach Chila, and it's the Shechita we can rely on, but it's Rov Knanim, and that's why Hare Elu Shalom. So the Ravid says, since in Pagios, which are Ophos, we don't have the luxury of saying that it's Rov Tavch Yisrael, we're going to have to assume it's a Makom Shavruvo Yisrael. And that's why Zil Shkol Nafshecha. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Ashkach, Kibura. Kibura is called in modern Hebrew Pakas. The Azli Bey Azluye. Pakas is like a ball or a coil, and it's a ball of string. That's what he says here in the Hebrew translation. I'll just read this to you. He says, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Motza Pakas Chutim Shetovim Mehem Rishtos. These were very strong kinds of rope or threads that are used in a place. They used to make nets for the fishermen or any sort of. Also, Lakami de Rabbi Yochanan. Again, where did he find this? He found it. He found it in a place where there are a lot of these hunters floating around. So again, it's a Makom Sherab Metzuyim Sham. He came to ask Rabbi Yochanan, and Amri Le Beit Midrash. Others said he came to Beis Medrash to ask the Amri Le. The answer that he got was Zil Shkol Lenafshcha. You can take it for yourself. And again, even if we assume that right here we don't have the element of Rov Tabchei Yisrael, so you're going to have to say that we're talking about Rov Knanim. And Rabbi Yochanan allowed the finder to keep this coil of string that was used for fishermen's nets because of the halacha of Rov Akum. And again, that would reflect the shita of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that in a makom sherabim nochrim mitzuyim sham is harei elu shalom. Now let's go back for a moment to the previous case of the pargios, you know, these pigeons, these birds, which were found, and there also he said zil shkol lenafshecha. According to the Ravid that we said before, that you cannot apply the principle of tabach here, of rov tabachin, because birds were slaughtered by the owner in their backyard. Therefore, we have to assume that it's rov Yisrael, and we are paskining therefore ipso facto like Rav Shimon Elazar to be matir naveda even b'makom sharov hametzuyim sham arov Yisrael. And Rabbi Yochanan here in this case of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha with the kibura, you know, that string that spun in order to create the nets for trappers, that's only halacha ki Rav Shimon Elazar in Rov Akum. Again, because the assumption is that most of the population there were Knanim. And Rabbi Yochanan accepted Rav Shimon Elazar. According to the Ravid, in the previous case of Rav Ami and Rav Asi and the Pargios, there were paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar, even in the case of Rov Yisrael. The Rashba is not happy with this Ravid because the Gemara should have said, as it did constantly and consistently, that Mikan, we should learn Shmamina that Allah is Rav Shimon Elazar. Why is that line left out? And therefore the Rashba writes, Efshal Hamid Berov Nachman Verov Tzayde Yisrael Vatzayodim Shochtim Liatzman. A very clever innovation here of the Rashba. We're talking about a case where Enochinami it's Rov Nachrim and Rov Tzayodim Yisrael. In other words, why you always have the Shechita problem? Why were you mad to the Shechita? And if you're not willing to say, according to the Ravid, Rov Tavche Yisrael, but you could say Rov Tzayodim Yisrael. And even if in the case of birds, I assume it was slaughtered in his backyard, nevertheless, who did the actual Shechita? It was the Tzayodim. And they were mostly mostly Jewish, and that's how we could be mati the shechita and rely and mati the meat for achila. Once you have the rov tzayde Yisrael, like we had earlier in the case of meat that we said rov tabche Yisrael, then we could assume that the general population is knanim, not like the Ravid, and we cannot prove from here that we paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar even in rov Yisrael, because we're talking about rov knanim. But in any event, you do get the flavor of it that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, but only in the case of Rov Knanim. We're not going to go so far as the case of Rov Yisrael. If, on the other hand, in a case of Rov Knanim, the Chachamim, which I don't think we paskin like, were machmir, and they said, yeah, you're chayev in Hashava, even though it's Rov Knanim, then we're going to have to assume that this is a separate takonis Chachamim, in order to facilitate Hashavas Aveda Lebailov. Okay, Rabbosai, we're at the bottom of Chavdalim and Beis, the Mishnah. We'll start that in Mirtz Hashem in the next year.